Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today, we're going to explore the latest from the aftermath of Valisher's report finding 78 different sunscreens and after-sun care products were contaminated with benzene, a human carcinogen linked to blood cancers like leukemia. This includes a recent announcement from Johnson & Johnson recalling 5 different Neutrogena and Aveeno aerosol sunscreens due to benzene contamination. In a press release, Johnson & Johnson said that benzene is not an ingredient in any of their sunscreen products, but was detected in some samples of the impacted aerosol sunscreens. The company is currently investigating the cause of this issue. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Christopher Bunick, Associate Professor of Dermatology at Yale University and member of Dermatology Times' Editorial Advisory Board, who previously spoke on the Cutaneous Connection podcast about the initial report findings from Valisher. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to touch on some recently breaking news regarding a recall by Johnson & Johnson about sunscreen products. Can you briefly explain the recent recall by Johnson & Johnson, and what does this mean?
Yes, so Johnson & Johnson recalled specifically a few products, mainly aerosol-based sunscreens that they found had higher levels of benzene or contamination of benzene and that shouldn't be there. And the reason they were doing these studies was actually a company called Valisher out of New Haven, Connecticut, does independent laboratory testing of medicines in particular. In this case, they're focused on sunscreens and after sun care products, and had identified a benzene contamination problem in multiple companies' sunscreen and after sun care products. And based on that report by Valisher, Johnson & Johnson did their own internal investigation and indeed found that some benzene contamination was occurring, particularly in their aerosol-based sunscreens. And I think that Johnson & Johnson's recall has several important ramifications. Number one, it actually validates Valisher's study. This is now a big company who is saying, yes, we have also identified benzene contamination in these particular sunscreens. So that lends credibility to Valisher's initial report and the FDA citizen petition. And I think that's very important, both for consumers and the scientists out there to understand. Second, Johnson & Johnson's recall shows corporate responsibility. It shows that this company is saying, we care about our customers, and we are going to actually make investigation into what is going on with these sunscreens. And they did the responsible thing. They not only did the investigation, but they said, we're taking these products off and we're going to continue to investigate. I think that that is the level of corporate responsibility that consumers want. They want to know companies like Johnson & Johnson do care about their health and about the safety of their products. And so I view Johnson & Johnson's recall as an important, not only validation of the problem, but a step in the right direction for the whole industry. In this case, Johnson & Johnson is sort of leading the way and setting a standard that the industry is not going to accept benzene contamination in sunscreens and after sun care products. They're going to investigate why it's there, and they're going to take the products off that the consumer should not be exposed to. So that's one of the key things I would take away from Johnson & Johnson's recall was the not only the validation, but the fact that there is corporate responsibility. A lot of times consumers don't really get the impression that the larger companies are necessarily caring about their safety and their health. And I think that this is a clear indication that that's not true, that these companies do in fact care about the consumers. And I think that that is a win-win both for industry and the consumers.
I absolutely agree. And I kind of want to backtrack here. You know, how did this recall come about? Can you dive a little bit into the findings that Valisher found in the report?
Yeah, so Valisure screened several hundred sunscreens and after sun care products, and we're looking for, in particular, benzene contamination, and found it in many products, not just aerosol-based sunscreens, which was primarily what Johnson & Johnson recalled, but also other types, creams, lotions, and across several different brands. And it did seem to be kind of a lot-specific contamination, meaning that there's variability. And so the question is, one, well, where's the contamination coming from and why is there variability? And it's thought that maybe this is happening in the supply chain, that the ingredients that are used to manufacture the sunscreens. And this can cause a little bit of confusion because it's not the ingredients listed on the sunscreen that are causing the problem. You're not going to be able to look at the ingredient label and know whether the sunscreen has contamination. It's contamination and it's not in the ingredient label. And I think Valisure as a company, their goal is to ensure safe and healthy medications and healthcare products for the population. And so they were looking at these sunscreens, found this benzene contamination, and filed an FDA citizen petition. And basically in that petition, they outlined around 13 or so points that they wanted the FDA to take action on, including improved oversight and regulation of the production of medications, in particular, in this case, sunscreens, and a further investigation into why there's a contamination with benzene in this. In these sunscreens and after sun care products, because this is on the heels of Valisure finding benzene contamination in hand sanitizers a few months earlier than the sunscreen report. And so all of this recall came about because of this company, Valisure, and David Light, who did these investigations, and really was at the forefront of trying to ensure the safety of the sunscreen products. And Johnson & Johnson then took this report and has acted upon it. And I believe that we're all waiting to also see how the FDA reacts. I think that the FDA now has not only Valisure's data, they now have Johnson & Johnson's data that they can look at and make hopefully educated decisions about how to regulate the industry, regulate the manufacturing of sunscreens for improved safety. And then maybe establishing some guidelines. I think that there's still a lot of confusion out there about, well, how much benzene is okay to be exposed to? What is the safe level of benzene? And personally, I think that there really isn't a safe level of benzene in sunscreen. And the reason is that there's no reason for it to be there. There are many sunscreens that Valisure tested that had no benzene contamination. So you don't have to choose a sunscreen that has benzene contamination. So there's many options for consumers. They never should have to take a sunscreen or after sun care product that has benzene contamination, because there's many that don't. But I do think getting to the root of the problem of why it's there ensures that no products going forward would have this contamination.
Absolutely. I really think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where in the supply chain, you know, this has occurred, and I'm really interested to see when and how this came about. So I want to backtrack here, and I want to touch on, you know, why should people even be concerned about benzene? You know, we talk about these recalls, you know, we talk about this report by Valisure, but, you know, at the end of the day, why should dermatologists and consumers both be concerned about benzene?
Yeah, so I think that here benzene is a known carcinogen. It's known to cause cancer. And it's thought that repeated chronic exposure to benzene can play that role in carcinogenesis. It's not necessarily the one-time use, it's the chronic exposure. And certainly there's a lot of exposure that occurs to benzene out in the environment. Benzene is known to be like in gasoline, oils. It's known to be used in industrial production of things like plastics, rubbers, other products that are commonly used throughout our world today. So it's not that benzene is there, it's out there, and there is exposure. It's not just through sunscreens. However, it's that chronic accumulated exposure that people think drive the carcinogenesis. And so if you are someone who is avidly outdoors or swimming, or you have children that are at the pool all summer, we all are outside to some degree, and we're educating, particularly dermatologists, we're educating our patients to put sunscreens on, you know, more or less head to toe all the time when they go outside. And if you're sending a child to summer camp and you're putting sunscreen head to toe in the morning and they're reapplying midday, or you're taking your family to the beach and you're reapplying every 2 hours while you're at the beach all day long, these repeated exposures occur over a lifetime with sunscreen. And it's not just once in a while. It can be for some people, even people living in, say, you know, Florida, California, where it's very sunny a lot of the time. This can be repeated exposures every day for decades of one's life. And I think that that is where the sunscreen issue really hits home, is the total amount of benzene that could, in theory, be absorbed into the human skin through application head to toe repeatedly throughout the day over many, many years. And people don't realize it takes about 30 grams of product to adequately coat the adult human body. That's one application. And while small little amounts of sunscreen may have very low levels of benzene, when you're treating the human adult body, and if you're applying it correctly, using about 30 grams to cover yourself in each application, over time, that adds up to many, many nanograms of benzene per application or per day of applying sunscreen. And I think this is where, me personally, I've run this mathematics after reviewing the Valisher FDA petition. And I think that the total nanogram levels of benzene are significant when people are using sunscreen the appropriate way. And I certainly would like to see Johnson & Johnson show some transparency in how they're calculating their own math behind benzene level exposure and how they make any conclusions to whether it's safe or not safe for humans. Because I think that the mathematics can be driven into different ways. And I think that there needs to be some serious scrutiny about how one determines what is a safe level of benzene exposure over one's lifetime, because at least some of the math that I've been doing does suggest that there are significant levels of nanograms of benzene in these applications when done correctly. And I'm not sure that everyone is taking into account the amount, the 30 grams approximately, that it takes to coat the body in one application appropriately.
You know, and on the same topic of, you know, calculations with benzene and everything, you know, in the press release announcing the recall, Johnson & Johnson said, and I quote, "Based on exposure modeling and the EPA framework, daily exposure to benzene in these aerosol sunscreen products at the levels detected in our testing would not be expected to cause adverse health consequences." You know, what is your thoughts on this statement?
Yeah, well, I think that Johnson & Johnson, again, I commend them for actually doing an investigation into this issue and not ignoring the issue. But I would like to see the math that they're saying, because if you read the Valisher's FDA citizen petition, that there is several statements between the FDA, that the EPA, regarding levels of benzene contamination and how that they regard, particularly the EPA, that no levels of benzene are really safe. And so I think that understanding exactly what Johnson & Johnson is referring to as the benchmark here is very important, because I think that there's different benchmarks out there. And that is part of what Valisher writes in their petition, is that the FDA needs to come down and have a little bit more clarity in terms of the recommended or limits to the exposure of benzene. Because I think that right now you can take several different sources and come up with some fudge factors and say, oh, it's dangerous or it's safe. And I think that the knowing that benzene is a carcinogen and then having these different variable safety levels, I do think that there's confusion out there as to what is a safe level of benzene exposure. And we know, again, we know it's a carcinogen. We know that it for example, can has been strongly associated with leukemias, blood cancers, as well as others. And I think that understanding a little bit more about how it's absorbed, how much benzene is absorbed through the skin and gets into the bloodstream through sunscreen, I think it's also a very valid question. And in order to understand the real risk that occurs to humans based on, you know, benzene contamination. I mean, ideally, the hope is that we get rid of the contamination and all the sunscreen, so it's a moot point. But I mean, there are, you know, there's other products out there besides sunscreens that haven't been tested. And do we know that they are free of benzene contamination? I think this is another big question that needs to be asked. And you had mentioned earlier about, well, how's the benzene getting in there? And certainly one thought might be through alcohols or ethanol that's used in some of the manufacturing process, because it's known that they can be contaminated with benzene. So that's at least one area that could potentially be investigated.
And so do you think other companies will follow Johnson & Johnson's footsteps, or do you think the FDA will step in and issue an industry-wide recall?
I think both things can happen. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that CVS has pulled one of their sunscreens off the line. I'm not sure about some of the other companies that have been cited in the Valisher report. But I do think Johnson & Johnson, in taking the lead here and doing the responsible thing and recalling these aerosol sunscreens, sets the way that other companies are really going to have to step up and do it too, because they don't want to be known as, well, Johnson & Johnson's the company that cares about safety and did this, and they're the companies that did not do it. So I do think that this puts industry-wide pressure on everyone to do their homework, investigate, and be transparent and remove the products that have benzene contamination. Again, because consumers have choices, and there are many sunscreens they can choose from that don't have the contamination. And I think that this story, as people become more educated about what's happening, consumers are very savvy. They're going to find the sunscreens that don't have the contamination. So it's actually in the interest of the companies to work with the FDA and to work with Valisher to solve this problem and fix it. And I do think the FDA will ultimately come on board and issue some regulations and possibly sunscreen-wide recalls. I'm not sure how much, but I think the FDA really, there's a lot of investigation here. And I think they're going to take a hard look at Valisher's data. They're going to take a hard look at J&J's data and other companies. And I think that they're going to take their time and make sure that they make the right decision, not a fast or hasty decision, but they're going to look at it all. They're going to try to figure out what's really happening. And I do think the FDA will come through. I don't know how long it'll take and make the whole sunscreen and after sun care product industry safer.
How do you think this will impact the future of the sun protection industry as a whole?
Well, I actually think it's going to help it. I think that for some consumers out there that have kind of been wary of sunscreens, have thought that sunscreens might be, have carcinogens or have other chemicals in them that can harm humans, I think that this is, in a way, possibly going to help them, because they're going to be able to see that the FDA and the companies are taking the safety of sunscreens very seriously, and they're working to make the product safer and better all the time. So in that way, I think it's very positive for the industry. We know, and Valisher and myself and other people have said this from the very beginning, is that no one is asking people to stop using sunscreens. Valisher, in their FDA petition, specifically says, continue using sunscreens, just choose the sunscreens that aren't contaminated. And I think that this is very important, because we know sun exposure, even just acute sunburns, can increase risk for skin cancer, as well as chronic sun exposure, all increase risk of skin cancer, which can be fatal in cases, for example, of melanoma, and also can cause significant disfiguration, healthcare costs from treating skin cancer. So we know sunscreen and sun protection help. And so patients and consumers should definitely continue using sunscreens. But we also have in the sun protection industry something that's really emerged in the last decade that wasn't there, certainly wasn't there when I was a child, and that is the emergence of sun protective clothing. And you'll hear a lot of dermatologists talk to their patients about the importance of, hats, not just sunscreen, but hats, sun protective shirts, sun protective shorts or pants. And I think that having fabrics themselves that are more effective at sunscreen or UV filtering is very important. And we have that now in many companies. I won't cite them here, but there are many companies that people can choose from. And I know I use that personally and in my own family, and I certainly advocate that for patients. And I know speaking to other dermatologists about this topic of benzene contamination, there are many dermatologists that do recommend the combined use of sun protective clothing with sunscreen, not just sunscreen or not just sun protective clothing, but I think the industry as a whole is now a combination of the two in order for maximizing sun safety. And so my message to all my patients is despite this, this revelation that there's the benzene contamination and despite the recall, definitely continue to use sunscreens. There's a lot of information out there, particularly Appendix A of Valisher's FDA petition that lists sunscreens that were shown to be benzene free. And I think that there's plenty of options to choose from. There's no reason people can't be safe in the sun and feel confident that they're doing it safely.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.